Shall we turn to the Lord in prayer? Father in heaven, come before thee this afternoon, seeking thy guidance and direction through the power of the Holy Spirit. And before we look into thy word, we would call upon thee to inspire us, to encourage us, and to guide and direct our thoughts, that it might bring honor, glory, and praise to your name. And so we pray, Father, be thou with us as we read and meditate upon your word, and that we might apply it to our lives after we have heard and depart. Bless our being together as we call upon thee in Jesus' name. Amen. With God's help this afternoon, I would like to read out of the book of James, chapter 2. James, chapter 2. My brethren, have not the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, with respect of persons. For if there come unto you, unto your assembly, a man with a gold ring and goodly apparel, and there come also in also a poor man in vile raiment, and you have respect to him that weareth the gay clothing, and saith unto him, Sit thou here in a good place, and say to the poor, Stand thou there, or sit here under my footstool. Are ye not then partial in yourselves, and are become judges of evil thoughts? Hearken, my beloved brethren, hath not God chosen the poor of this world, rich in faith, and heirs of the kingdom, which he hath promised to them that love him? But ye have despised the poor. Do not rich men oppress you and draw you before the judgment seats? Do not they blaspheme that worthy name by which ye are called? If ye fulfill the royal law according to the scriptures, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself, ye do well. But if ye have respect of persons, ye commit sin, and are convinced of the law as transgressors. For whosoever shall keep the whole law and yet offend in one point, he is guilty of all. For he that said, Do not commit adultery, said also, Do not kill. Now if thou commit no adultery, yet thou kill, thou art become a transgressor of the law. So speak ye, and so do, as they that shall be judged by the law of liberty. For he shall have judgment without mercy that hath showed no mercy, and mercy rejoiceth against judgment. What doth it profit, my brethren, if though a man say he have faith and have not works, can faith save him? If a brother or a sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say unto him, Depart in peace, be ye warmed and filled, notwithstanding ye give them not those things which are needful to the body, what doth it profit? Even so faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. Yet a man may say, Thou hast faith, and I have works. Shew me thy face without thy works, and I will shew thee my faith by my works. Thou believest that there is one God? Thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble. But wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead? Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he had offered Isaac his son upon the altar? Seest thou how faith wrought with this his works, and by works was faith made perfect? And the scripture was fulfilled which saith, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. You see then how that by works a man is justified and not by faith only. Likewise also was Rahab the harlot justified by works when she had received the messengers and had sent them out another way. For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is also dead. May God bless the reading of the word. Let's bow before him in prayer.
Gracious and merciful Father in heaven, we come before thee on bended knee again in this afternoon hour. And we would bow our hearts before thee. We would praise thee and spend this hour of time that we have together as a special time of worship where we come before thee, where we come before thy word, and we are grateful for thee to speak to us. So often our vision and understanding are cloudy and incorrect. But thy spirit, which searches our hearts, knows perfectly the thoughts and intents, and knows thy will. And we pray, O Lord, that as thy word is open before us, and our brother would share the scripture, and that thou would impart unto us a message that thou hast prepared, that thou would help us to have open ears and willing hearts to receive this great blessing from thee. Help us not to be only hearers, but also doers of thy word, as we have opportunity now and have this blessing and freedom, that we may take advantage and grow thereby to thy honor and thy glory, to our growth of faith and our increase of our peace. Help us, O Lord, to always seek to have a good conscience before God and man, that we would heed thy warnings, that we would listen to thy instruction, moment by moment and day by day, as thou would give us opportunities to serve thee, as thou would give us opportunities to yield ourselves unto thee. Lord, help us. Give us the strength and the will to, with joy, turn over all of our wants and desires unto thee, and to allow thy word, which touches on so many points in our lives, to be remembered as we would take this time to meditate, that we would apply ourselves unto that wisdom, and that thou would, in turn, Lord, impress it deeply upon our minds and our hearts. We give thee thanks for the blessing of thy word. And truly, O Lord, if we yield unto thee in faith and trust, thou wilt accomplish the purposes of thy kingdom through thy children. This is our hope and desire and prayer. Thou would provide comfort to those who are in need of consolation, that we would be able to share the comfort that we have found in Jesus Christ, that we would be able to testify of the forgiveness that is to be found in thy precious blood. We give thee thanks for all things, O Lord. We know that we need thee each and every hour. And we would ask, Lord, that thou would help us to understand that reality, perhaps even a little deeper as we look to thee for wisdom and guidance. We need thy wisdom and leading in all areas of our life, and we would pray that thou would provide and help us to receive it gladly. For we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
In reading this portion of Scripture this afternoon, we see here that the Apostle James has a he has a sound word for us to know and understand, to realize. It's all about our faith, as he starts off here, that have not the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ with respect to persons. And so he uses this example of one rich man that you see. He comes in and you have favor to him and you have him sit in this good place. And the poor man, you tell him to sit over here by your footstool. And the principle that I believe he's trying to point out here is the respect of the one over the other. Is that a fact in this day and age? You know, I've been in the faith for a long time, and I don't ever remember seeing that amongst our brethren. But I have noticed at times that there were some that was recognized as more than others. In fact, I've felt that way myself already. And I think there are some times that we do have respect for maybe not necessarily the rich, but someone that is maybe educated and rich, as opposed to someone that's just a plain, simple man. And so you find that that is so easily happens. But as we read God's word here, this is what James writes, that this is not to be. Not to be at all. As a matter of fact, he says, if you have respect to persons, ye commit sin and are convinced of the law as transgressors. Now, we don't think of this partiality, if you will, necessarily as some great sin. Respecting one more over the other don't seem like a very much of a sin. I believe that every one of us probably have our individuals that we prefer to be with. And there's some that, like they say, there's some people you don't mind spending 2 weeks with, and there's other people you don't want to spend 2 days with, and there's other people you don't want to spend 2 hours with. That falls into the category of partiality. And let's face it, there are people that we just don't really particularly like to spend a lot of time with. But we need to be warned by God's word that this ought not to be, that it is sin. And so he goes on to talk about the sins. Well, first he talks about the poor. We know that the poor, and he mentions here that hath God, hearken, beloved brethren, hath God not chosen the poor of this world, rich in faith? We heard this morning about being poor of spirit. Blessed are the poor in spirit. And that's referring to those that are humble, those that are willing to learn, those that want to learn, those that are, don't think that there's somebody like we heard this morning, that they puff up themselves and they think they know it all or whatever. And so God has chosen those that are poor in spirit. In other words, someone that has a humble mind and a humble heart and don't think that they're really somebody. And so this is why God chooses those kind, because they seem to be more willing, more able, and understanding God's word and God's will. You see, when we seem to have a not necessarily rich, but we have everything we need. And I feel that I've got I don't have no needs really. I got, you know, when you get a little older, you don't have to buy a lot of clothes. You don't have to buy your house paid for, your cars paid for. You don't have a lot of bills, and so you don't really seem to have a need for much of anything, really. And so you're not really poor, but you're not rich, if you will. And so if you look at this as someone that's poor, he's not referring to somebody just lack of money. That's not the refer of the poorty. He's talking about someone that's poor in heart and spirit, willing to learn, willing to follow God's way, willing to do God's will, and be led of the Holy Spirit. That's being poor in spirit. That's being poor and wanting and desiring, like we heard this morning, that our heart is that way. We want to, we yearn, we want to learn, we want to do His will. That's the poor in spirit. And so He chooses these kind of people here. And He reminds us that the rich, and He's not necessarily referring, I don't believe, to rich brethren, as you will, because He says, but ye have despised the poor, but not rich. Do not rich men oppress you and draw you before the judgment seats? Do not they blaspheme that worthy name by which ye are called? If ye fulfill the royal law according to the scriptures, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself, ye do well. But if ye have respect of persons, ye commit sin and are convinced of the law and are as transgressors. So he's pointing out here that this is what rich men do to us. And that's true. That's probably very true to society today. And so he's warning us here not to have respect for and show partiality of those kind, as opposed to the poor soul that wants to learn and is willing to accept God's will the way it is. And so this is what he's saying here, that we don't have this kind of respect for persons because we commit sin. So he says, for whosoever shall keep the whole law and yet offend in one point, he is guilty of all. For he that said, do not commit adultery, said also, do not kill. But if thou commit adultery, yet thou kill, thou art become a transgressor of the law. So you see, yes, it says, thou shalt not kill, and thou shalt not commit adultery. But it also means thou shalt not have respect to persons also. And so this is his point that he's pointing out here. If we commit no adultery, yet we kill, thou art become a transgressor of the law. So if you, maybe you don't do this, maybe you don't kill, maybe you don't even commit adultery, but you have respect to persons, you've committed, you broke the law. And you either you break it this way or you break it that way. And I believe that every one of us at one point, in one time or another, we probably do break the law. We probably commit sin. But thanks be to God and His grace and His mercy and His love for us, if we're faithful and willing to confess our sin, He is willing to forgive us. Even though we have not committed all the sins, but we have committed one, which might seem insignificant, nevertheless, it's sin. And we need to be forgiven for it. And the only way we can be forgiven for it is by confessing it and of course, quit doing it, not to continue to live in that same sort of sin. Once you confess it, He doesn't want us to live in it any longer. And so this is the way the Scriptures teach us throughout. And so as he says here, so speak ye and so do, so as they that shall be judged by the law of liberty. For ye shall have judgment, for he shall have judgment without mercy that hath shewed no mercy, and mercy rejoiceth against judgment. So he switches it here not to mercy, how we ought to have mercy one for another, not only for the poor, but for the rich one too, to show mercy. And if we don't show mercy, we're not going to be shown mercy. It's just like forgiving. Just like God says, if you don't forgive your brother, I won't forgive you. You have to forgive. You have to have mercy. All of this, if you expect God to have this on you, we have to exercise that. And that goes back to this principle of our faith of our Lord Jesus Christ. And so as he goes on to talk about having faith and so forth, he says, what doth it profit, my brethren, though a man say he hath faith and hath not works, can faith save him? Now we know that the scriptures teach us that without, we have to have faith. There's no way around that. We read in Hebrews, it talks about if you have faith, without faith it's impossible to please God. So we must have faith. Faith in what? What kind of faith are we talking about? Faith in the AC church? Faith in our ministers? What's this faith talking about? I believe it's talking about God's word. It's Jesus Christ that we have the faith in. We trust in him. We adhere to him. We follow him. We believe in him. That's our faith. And the Apostle Paul writes to the Corinthians and he says, you can have this enough faith to move mountains. But if you don't have love, you don't have anything. So here he's talking about if you have faith and you don't have works, it's the same situation. You're nothing. As he says here, man may say, thou hast faith and I have works. Shew me thy faith without thy works, and I will shew thee my faith by my works. So what he's doing is encouraging us here to live like we learned this morning, to have that pure heart. How do we have a pure heart? We have to make it an effort. We have to look into God's word and understand it and know how to have a pure heart. A pure heart don't just come automatically. When we become converted and we become one of God's children, we forsake sin and we've been baptized. But now we have to continue to live in this faith that we have and to apply it to our lives, live that we heard about being a light into the world, not a light hid under a bushel. We have to practice our faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. And how do we do that? By the works, by the things that we do, the things that we come in contact with. This is how we exercise our faith. Not that it's going to get us to heaven. We know that we're only saved by grace, but we still must have the works to go with it. Like it says in Ephesians 4th chapter, it says we're saved by grace, but by the next verse, we are God's workmanship created in unto good works. And so you see, we understand that, what it means then, what it means to have faith with works. And as he says here, shew me thy faith without thy works, and I will shew you my faith by my works. And this is what he's referring to. Like he says here, thou believest that there is one God, thou doest well. But the devils also believe and tremble. So it's not just you that you believe. It's not just you have the faith, but you have to do something about that faith. And you have to, and the scriptures lays it out. Just like we read the Beatitudes this morning, that gives a whole lot of instruction. Read the whole Sermon on the Mount. Tells you all kinds of ways how we ought to live our lives. That's the works that he's talking about. That's the exercising of our faith in Jesus Christ. And we must do that as he says it here. But he says, but wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead? It don't get any plainer than that. If you don't live out your faith, you might as well not have it. It's dead. It don't glorify God in any way. It doesn't help any soul. That's why he says, if you hear, what doth it profit a man? And nowhere he says, and one of you say to him, depart in peace, be warmed and filled, wherewith, notwithstanding, you give them those things which are needful to the body, what doth it profit? Nothing. Go and be warm, filled, it's okay, everything will be all right, just be relaxed, it's okay. You don't give them nothing, you don't help them, you don't serve them, no way. See that? That's not exercising your faith. To help them, to serve them, what do you need? What can I give you? Do you need some money? What do you need? Somehow help them. And this is the poor that he's talking about. And so if we just say, go and be warm and be filled, it doesn't gain a thing. That's faith without works. That's dead. And this is the principle that he's bringing out here in our lesson this afternoon. And then he talks about the example that Abraham has. Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he had offered Isaac his son upon the altar? And when we read that story and you think about that act of faith that Abraham did, that's a very very serious thing. I mean, if you put yourself into Abraham's shoes, he's getting old, his wife is old. God promised him that he's going to have many nations out of him, and he don't even have a child yet. And so he has this son, Isaac, this young lad, and he thinks probably the world of it. Here we go. We're getting started on this nation now. And then God comes along and says, I want you to take him up in the mountain and I want you to sacrifice him for me. Excuse me? My only son? You're talking big nations and you expect me to sacrifice? You see, Abraham didn't do that. He simply took the sticks, took his son, and up they went. They went to the mountain to sacrifice. Even to the point that he laid him on the altar, raised up the knife, and they stopped him. The angel stopped him. But he had the faith to believe that God, even if he was to die, even if he was to be dead, God would somehow raise him up and he would make a great nation out of even this first son, even if he took his life. So you see, he's using this for an example of the kind of faith that he's referring to that we need to have. And it was counted to him as righteousness. He just simply took it in faith. Let's go. We're going. That's the way it is. That takes a lot of faith. But it was works that he did. The works that he followed through with what the Lord told him to do. And he did it. But the Lord stopped him before it actually took place. That just, to me, that is a tremendous, strong faith to do something like that. I can't imagine myself, God asking me to take one of my sons and to sacrifice him. That would take a lot of faith. But yet, it was accounted to him as something that's perfect. It says, seest thou then how faith wrought by his works, and by works was faith made perfect? So simply by his obedience to God and his faith, believing that God will take care of this, I'm going to do what you said, no matter what. And that's what it was imputed unto him, it says in the scriptures, as righteousness. And the scripture was fulfilled, which saith, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. You see then how that by works a man is justified, and not by faith only. So you see, we're actually justified. Justified meaning just as if we didn't sin. We're justified by the works that God or that we do in God's name in our Christian walk of life. We're justified by the faith, it says there, in our faith. So, and then he uses the example, likewise also was not Rahab the harlot justified by works when she had received the messengers and had sent them out another way? The story of when he got to Jericho and the spies were spared. She hid them until the things, and then she sent them out another way. And then when the walls come tumbling down, she was saved and reserved. The name Rahab is mentioned in the lineage of Christ, if you ever knew that, thought about that. Harlot mentioned in the lineage of Christ. And if you go down through history, you'll see that. But it's because of her faith that she had in God's people, in God. She hid them spies. That took a lot of faith because the king was looking for whoever those were, and they knew that they was here, but they didn't know where they were. And she hid them. That took a lot of faith. And this is the faith that he's referring to and the works that she did. And so we take this as a lesson for faith without works is dead. In other words, we live our lives in faith that we have in Jesus Christ. We do what we heard this morning, that we be at light on a hill, salt of the earth. All that plays in a serious part of our faith and our works in Jesus Christ. So let us be encouraged here, as he says, for as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. And so I believe that if we can visualize ourselves in the things that we do, it may not seem like much, but we know that even the littlest things, Christ said, if you even give a glass of water in my name, you shall be rewarded. Just a glass of water. Very small thing. But it's a work of faith. That you do this because it's what God expects of us to do. To do his will, to serve him, to love one another, serve one another. This is all part of our faith and our works. And as he says here, that's why he calls it in respect of persons, not to have respect of persons. That kind of work is not work of God. That's sin. And so we need to be well aware of what the scriptures is teaching us here. You know, even as he mentioned, and I thought about who James writes to, and it says in the first chapter, he says that the servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greetings, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations. So he wasn't just writing to a certain church, he was writing to all the brethren of the 12 tribes. Which then, of course, was written, preserved, and applies for us today. All the brethren, that's all of us. And how we ought to live this life of faith with works. So let us be encouraged by the special word that James has written. If you read the rest of this, James has some very pointed things according to God's word. Talks about the tongue, and he talks about doing God's will, not just hearers, but doers. The previous verse says, but be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any man be a hearer of the word, and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in the glass, for he beholdeth himself, and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But you see, it's It's very plain and simple way, but it's according to God's word. It's according to God's word. So may we be encouraged in our faith and our walk with him that we might do his good will. Amen.
This afternoon that the Lord has promised a kingdom unto them that love him. And he has chosen the poor of this world, those rich in faith, to be heirs of that kingdom, to inherit, even as we have just sung. What rich gifts God has in store for those that love him. And he calls us, one and all, to hear the word, to follow, as Jesus said, follow me, for I am meek. Who shared the word and the truth with one and all. Follow him in his life. Follow him in love and dedication, an example of faith that worked itself out in a perfect example for us to emulate, to look up to put our faith and trust in. May we all be encouraged to do that and heed the word that has been given as a blessing for us in this day. Amen.